And then Sunday services, right? I attend 3 services on a Sunday, willingly, 3 different churches. I'll have a 9 a.m. service, I'll have a 2 p.m. service, and I'll have a 6 p.m. service, right? I was a hardcore Christian, guys, like proper, right? And I thought when I served God wholeheartedly like that, right, God would provide for me. But then, you know, in 2020, start of 2020, I had hopes. Like, I was like, this is going to be the year, 2020 vision. You know, like, it's very cool, right? It's like, yeah, like, it's going to be a great year. I kind of went into with, like, lots of hope. I was living with my extended family, and I decided to move into a studio apartment in Box Hill. And that was going to be the hub. That was going to be the place where friends can come, we'll make music, we'll do, like, lots of board games, D&D, I don't know, fun, right? That was the plan. I moved in March, and then April happens, right? And then I was in that room for the whole of lockdown and plus for about 2 years alone, right? And, you know, the only human contact at that point is probably, I actually live in a granny flat with a family. So we had like, every week we had dinner, Wednesday nights. So that's the only human contact I had. So I had plans at that time, like current plans for at that time. Present plans for that time, gone. Lockdown. And then that was 2020. And then 2021. Most of you guys won't probably know this, but you know, I'm Burmese. You know that fact. But in 2021, the military decided that they will take over the country. So my backup plan, so I was an international student, right? My backup plan, if nothing goes well here in Australia, I'll go back home. You know, I can speak English, so I'll work in tourism or whatever. Like, I'll have a job, right? No, that's gone. So my current plan at that time is gone. Backup plan of going home, gone, right? And then I had future plans, obviously. I had like, you know, I was like, looking forward to, and like you can come ask me about this story, but like I thought I heard God told me that, you know, because I was wrestling, I was actually reading through 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 talks about marriage and singleness, and you know, I was like struggling with singleness at that point. I was like, God, I need you to give me a sign, you know, that kind of prayer. And God gave me a sign. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be alone, great. But nothing came to fruition in that season. It was bad, guys. Like, I'm not going to go into detail, but it was bad. So current plans were gone at that time. Backup plans were gone. Any future plans, nothing. I was burnt out. I'm going to expose myself. I binged One Piece in 3 months. And that's 1,000 episodes of anime. That's like, I don't even know what the math is, but 3 months I finished it. It was really bad. Because when I thought I served God wholeheartedly, you know, before, I was doing everything that God would provide for me. But it didn't feel like that at that time, right? And my expectation of God, they weren't met. But, you know, looking back though, God's faithful. I just didn't feel it at that time. So if you know the story, Joyce came into the picture, you know, and that was the first step of God restoring some of the things. And this community, you guys, are a part of God's restoration for me. Like, but it's not what you think. Because can I be real with you again? I would love to say, I did it. I came in, God gave me this love, and I loved on everyone. Not the case. I was afraid, right? I was feeling inadequate. Like, It was just really hard, if I'm being completely honest. I would also love to say that the St. Hills community, you know, helped me and helped me grow and helped me feel like this is home. You guys feel like home now, by the way. Just bear with me. But I came from a small ethnic church. And 80% of the church is my family, like first cousins, like literal family. And I was the go-to guy for everything, right? Music, me. AV, me. Youth, me. I was the guy, right? Came to St. Hills, I'm the big fish from the small pond, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm Dan. I can do some stuff, but not very well, apparently. And it feels like that, right? Culture is very different. The way we worship is very different. Even the way we do events, very different. Like, in my old church, we pick our songs 30 minutes before service, like the worship band. We make slides as the preacher preach. Not even kidding. Like, that's what happens, right? Here at St. Hills, man, everything is well planned, like, and don't tolerate, you know, anything less than excellence here. And also, like, the serving culture here, guys. You guys serve like no one I've ever seen, honestly. You guys serve, right? So it wasn't an easy journey for me here. I was riddled with fear, dealing with burnout, and I came in. Can anyone relate to burnout in here? Yeah, kind of gone through some stuff. And does anyone feel like they don't feel like they're good enough at times? Could be friendship, could be at work, could be at school, could be with your kids, you know? Thanks, Lockie. Has anyone ever been disappointed in God? Yep. Like, God didn't come through like you think he would. You prayed for something, God didn't answer that prayer. Well, we have a hope, thankfully. So let's look at today's passage to see what God has to say about these things, right? By the way, who has heard of this passage kind of read out loud? Who has heard this passage read out loud in a wedding? Who's got their wedding... Whose wedding verse is this, I guess? I don't know how to say this. No one? Okay. Well, it's a famous... Oh, is there one? It's a famous love passage, right? Well, it's very interesting to note that this love passage, okay, it's sandwiched between the gifts passage. I don't know if you guys know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gives. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, gives. And right in the middle... The meat is love, 1 Corinthians 13, right? So I'm going to go do a little of the first three verses. If you can help Ben. Thanks, Ben. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, do not have love. I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. So the context of Corinth is very interesting. So evidently, the church in Corinth is very gifted. Because why else would Paul write about, you know, gifts and doing them in an orderly way, right? And the problem with Corinth, that it's a thriving, like, cosmopolitan city, intellectual hub, right? It's a place to be, right? People are obsessed with eloquence, carefully crafted speech, and success was measured best by who argued the best. A bit like Melbourne, you reckon? A bit like Melbourne. Because when I tell people I'm from Melbourne, like, they look at me with awe. And I don't know if you understand that, especially like if they're from Asia and they see you like not looking a typical Australian, and then they kind of go, oh, you're from Melbourne. And us living here, we don't actually realize the privileges we have, actually. And also, let's be honest. I wonder if Corinth's a bit like us, St. Hilary's Anglican Church. Right, the birthplace of many great ministries. Like, I've heard of the Arrow Leadership, Mustard Schools, before I came here. Like, before I came to here. And I'm like, what? It started from here. Like, that was part of the reason why I was, like, shaking when I first came in. I'm like, this is, like, the great place. But Paul is reminding the talented and the committed people of Corinth the importance of the why. Not just the what, not just the how. People are gifted. They're using their gifts in community, in church, for good, right? And you can have what it seems like the best gifts in the world, like even sacrificing your own life. But if you don't have love, you gain nothing. This is a quote I've heard. I think it's quite funny. It might not land. But it says, I'm willing to take a bullet for you, but I'm not willing to do the dishes. And, oh, yay, landed. Well, we're very eager to say, I'll die for you, but will we live for someone? The reason why I got burnt out is because I was doing all these things in the name of God, but underneath, if I'm really, really real with myself, I was doing it for myself. I was doing it to build myself. I was doing it to grow myself in the name of wanting to know God. I wanted to be well-connected and well-regarded. So I was disappointed because I was expecting something else other than God. And I was looking at myself rather than looking at God. And look, friends, you might be here. You might be disappointed with God right now or fearful of something, of doing the wrong things maybe. And Paul is saying the antidote to this selfishness is love. You'll gain nothing, but when you have love, that's the key. Let's unpack the word love. Does anyone know how many Greek words of love that's been used in the Bible? Go. Yeah, in the Bible first. Oh, okay, go, overall. Close, I think it's 8. Yeah. That's very close. Because one of them is debatable. Fair enough, yeah. But in the Bible, 4 of them were used. There is philia, it's like a friendship kind of love, mates. There is eros, which is romantic kind of love. There is storge, which is like family kind of love. It can also be like a footy team kind of love, like you're part of a tribe, like storge, right? Or another, the last one is agape. And you might have heard of this word. It's the unconditional love that is ascribed to God. And only God can love you in this way. And I think Paul eloquently gives the definition of agape. Let's look at a few verses after. This is very familiar to a lot of us. Verses 4-7. Thanks, Ben. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. Not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The interesting thing, though, is that all these quality of love is actually all action. It's doing, right? It's work. It's actually hard work. Have you ever tried to be patient with someone that's really annoying, like your 2-year-old son? Like hard, right? Hard. Kind, same thing. Envy or boast, like when we have something, we want to show off a little bit. When we don't have it, we covet a little bit. It's quite hard not to do that. Not arrogant or rude, guys. Like if you have skills, you're bound to be arrogant. Like I'm a little arrogant when it comes to some stuff, right? It doesn't insist it its own way. Have you ever like went to someone's really sad and you sat down with them and they're telling you their kind of story and you kind of go, yeah, I also have a story. And then you kind of like, you insist kind of yourself in it. It's quite natural, right? It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings and rejoices with the truth. That means it's being fair, right? Because to rejoice in wrongdoing is to justify the wrongdoing. So not rejoicing in the wrongdoing is being fair. It bears all things, so it protects people, from exposure, ridicule, We like to gossip at times. Like when someone says something and it kind of resonates, you're like, yeah, and it comes out, right? It's like, it's really hard. Believes all things, not suspicious or cynical. Hopes all things, endure all things, it clings on. I find that very comforting if God does that for me. So these are all hard work, right? And you might see this list and you kind of go, ah, like, I don't know if I can do all of that. You know what? Good news tonight, the first good news, we will always fall short. Yay. Guys, always, always. And that's guaranteed. Oh, I feel like there's a weight lifted off my shoulders. Yes. And also, another good news is that this is not a to-do list, thankfully. These are just tuning forks, you know? You guys know what tuning forks are? Yeah, yeah. To tune something, right? It's a mirror, right? You don't go to a tuner and go, hey, tune this guitar. Actually, there is a device on the guitar that does that, but don't worry about that one. Basically, what tuners do is it tells you if it's in tune or out of tune. What tunes, or let's look at the mirror, right? If you're not a musician, you look in the mirror in the morning, kind of go, oh, there's something there. The mirror is not going to clean it for you. It's going to be something else that cleans for you. So these love kind of list, right? It's not the thing that's going to help us love. Because love is a response. It's an action, right? It's all action. But it's not what you think. Okay, you're going to ask me, so what is it, Dan? Like, how do I love people? How do I do this thing? I want to do this well. I want to love people, right? I want to like be patient and kind and all the good stuff. Okay, my application point tonight, if you want to know, is this. Just add one. What do I mean by that? This is quite meta, I think. I don't know. It kind of like relies on your knowledge of like being a Christian. Does anyone know John 3:16? Who doesn't know John 3:16? It's okay. Okay, everyone kind of knows this. Okay, this is my way of kind of trying to be creative. Just add one. So we're going to add one to each John 3:16. So we're going to go 1 John 4:17. It's kind of like, it's a bit weird, but just bear with me. Can you go to the next kind of, 1 John 4:17 to 19. I'm going to go. This is what it says. Because we know about John 3:16 when it talks about, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. But in 1 John 4, it says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we're like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. I think that's the key. We can love other people because he first loved us. How does this work? Okay, if you're a youth, you would have heard the first part to the story. I was not very good with money. And because I was an international student, my dad gave me a credit card and say, use what you need to use. And I just overspend like a couple grand every month. Like overspend. And it's bad, pretty bad. And then my dad called me up and go, what's this? And like, you know, I had to repent and everything. But he forgave me, right? Great. In 2020, I had a friend who said, hey, I can't pay rent. I need help. And I was like, okay, sure. I have a few savings. Here's a couple of grand. Gave it to that person. They ran away with the money. I haven't seen them since. Like, haven't seen them at all. And I was reflecting on why I was okay with that. Like, I wasn't bitter. I was like, yeah, okay, money's gone. Well, I can't buy the thing that I wanted to buy, but oh well. And God, you know, probably will pay me back in other ways. That's kind of how I see it. But I think when I was sitting on this kind of story, I realized the reason why I could forgive that person easily is because I've done wrong to my dad. More than $2,000, right? It's like, more, like months and months of like a few grand, right? That's a lot of money. We love because he first loves us. Love is an action. But for us, that action is to remember. because we're never short of God's grace. Like, never. The air that we're breathing, it's God's grace. The fact that we can walk without pain, it's God's grace. The fact that we can eat and have money, it's God's grace. So let's look at the last little bit of 1 Corinthians and I'll try and finish off. It says, this is how, oh, that's the next one, thanks. Love never fails, there you go. But when there are prophecies, they will cease. When there are tongues, they will be stilled. When there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we all know in part, we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I become a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For we now only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But now these three remains, faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. It gives us the reason for love, right? That love never ends. Love lasts because God is love. So if you want to love, then you need to know God. Like, I think that's maths, right? So as we go through the next few weeks, we'll be talking about spiritual gifts and different things, right? Remember this. We need gifts and each other only because we are still waiting on the fullness of that day when we see God face to face. When Joyce was going to Germany, I was like, I want to do something cute. So I was going to like give her a little mini thing so that she can take photos, you know, like, I don't know what you call them, like, I'll have that with you in the photo and I'm there with you kind of vibes. So I walked into Hope Op Shop. Shout out to the Hope team. And then I was just browsing and I found this cute little thing where you can put a photo of your face and it's a little character. I actually have it with me. This little thing. Basically, she has one of me and then I have one of her, basically. It's very cute. I think this is basically that. We need gifts because we don't have God with us in person yet. He is with us in spirit, right? And the first night, Levi was like, Mom, I need Mom. And I'm like, do you want mini Mom? Honestly, worked. I know. And then I'm like, do you want to give mini Mom a high five? And he did it. And he's like, bye, Mom. And that's it, right? Like, it really worked. And I was like, what? So I think my point here is we need each other, we need gifts because we're still waiting on God. Because God's the end goal. Gifts is not the end goal. Like, things that you can do, not the end goal. The end goal is God. So we might have disappointments. We might have fear in ourselves. Fear of doing things wrong, maybe even. Or we might be doing a lot already. We're serving here and there and, you know, like every week, four times a week, three services a day, you know, that kind of thing. No matter the case, you can't do this by yourself. We love because He first loved us. We serve because He first served us. So we might not fully see it or know how, but you can trust God. That's a promise. So if all of us here tonight, if we're overflowing with God's love, I can't imagine what this place is going to be at the end of the year. Even just at the end of the year. So I want you to be open to what God wants to do with us in this season because it might not be what we think. Can I pray? Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you served us and you love us to the point of your death. And God, I pray that you would help us understand that in our hearts as we walk in life. And also I pray that God, you would help us to be more like you, and that we will be able to trust you in everything that we do. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
We are going to remind ourselves of the greatest gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ on the cross by celebrating the Lord's Supper together. So the words will come up on the screen, and you can join in with me as we share at the Lord's table. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, making us in your own image. We praise you for your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life, offered the one true sacrifice for sin, and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Therefore, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now, gracious God, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and pray that we who receive them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, according to our Saviour's word, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may share his body and blood. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We eat this bread and drink this cup to proclaim the death of the Lord. We do this until he returns. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, as we recall his saving death and glorious resurrection, may we who share these gifts be renewed by your Holy Spirit and united in the body of your Son. Bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom, there to feast at your table and join in the eternal praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Well done to those of you who remembered the words. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body. Dan and Alexis, if you can come and help me. Our friends, we'll do two stations at the front, one on either side. And anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, is welcome to join us at the Lord's table. So draw near with faith to feed on Christ in your hearts with thanksgiving. Gracious God, thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, and that we are living members of Christ's body. Why don't we stand and sing praises to that God?
With one voice. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, what fears are stilled when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on was laid. Here in the death of Christ I lay. In the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth stay, but from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood. First cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
State of burnout and brokenness, but that was even before COVID, and then I went into another one. But anyway, so I would like to encourage you that wherever you are right now, wherever you find yourself right now, if you are hurting, if you need someone to come alongside you, we would love to do that. We would love to do that with you. We would love to be there for you. So please stay for dinner. We've got a dinner here that you're all welcome to. If you wish to, you can give a little donation. If you don't have any donation to give, don't worry about it. I'm happy to cover like as many people as want to stay for dinner, because I just want to have people to have dinner with tonight. And the dinner is great. Oh, yum. Some of my favourite stuff. Yay, burrito bowls. Awesome. So, so I just wanted to encourage you. That's awesome. Also, if anybody wants to give an offering to the church, there's also going to be provision.